Paul said that we should offer our bodies a living sacrifice. The Hebrews were familiar with animal sacrifices that you offered in death, but Paul said we should offer ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And when you've done that, he said, that's reasonable service. Amen. That's not exceptional. Reasonable. Amen. If he gave his life for me, ought not I to live my life for him? Amen. What's wrong with that? Amen. What's difficult about that? What's extreme about that? Turning today in your Bible to the book of Isaiah 59, verse 19. Marvelous chapter. And I want to lift this one verse today and take my thought from the last portion. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy, everybody say when, not if, when, it's going to happen. It will happen. When the enemy shall come in like a flood. The Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Amen. I want to preach to you this morning that sin comes in like a flood. Sin comes in like a flood. You may be seated. It's called China's sorrow. Its other name is the Yellow River. Runs some 3,000 miles in the nation of China. In 1887, one flood took 2 million lives. In 1931, almost 4 million people lost their lives in another flood. And in 1938, almost 1 million more lost their lives on the Yellow River in China. In just 51 years' time, the population of New York City lost their lives because of a flood. Floods are horrendous. They're dangerous. Floods always began somewhat innocently. It began with something as simple as a drop of water. None of us here today feel threatened by a raindrop. Sometimes a raindrop, a few raindrops, are refreshing. They bring a fresh scent to the parched earth. They bring life to dying plant life. They bring regeneration to this world that we live in. But when the drops of rain become torrents of rain, and they come down by the billions, then the whole picture begins to change. I don't know how many of you have been in a flood, but it rains and we get excited about rain. But it rains for an hour and we begin to think, well, this is pretty heavy rain. And it rains for 2 hours and we begin to get a little bit concerned because the water is quickly rising. And then it rains for 3 hours and things began to cover and we can no longer see the flatness. Everything is filled with water, and then it continues to come down in torrents, and streets become rivers, and rivers become raging torrents that race out of their banks, wash away homes. 1993, there was a flood in Midwestern United States that covered 504 counties. It killed 47 people and destroyed 72,000 homes, plus some 45,000 commercial structures. It destroyed highways and roads. 1,000 miles of road were closed. Bridges, 25 bridges were washed out. $15.6 billion worth of damage, all because of something so innocent as a raindrop that would not stop. Sin comes in like a flood. Sin always comes in innocence. It looks so innocent. It looks so harmless. It looks like something that couldn't hurt me. Just one little drink won't hurt a thing. Just one little puff, what's that? Just one little snort, just one little try. It doesn't look dangerous. It doesn't look like it could do anything to me. But you don't understand what happens. What's on the other side of the flood? The Bible said that sin comes, first of all, in the cloaks of lust. Strong desire until it consumes a person. And a person, how many times have we said, why would somebody do something like that? But you know why. Because you've done the same things. You've done things, I'll never do that, but you did. That'll never happen to me, but it did. Because one little drop became 1,000, and 1,000 became 100,000. And the next thing you know, you were caught up in a flood, and you couldn't control yourself. Sin comes in like a flood. It began simple. Did you know that all sin really is a perversion of good? Every sin is a perversion of something that God made good. But men have perverted its use, and it becomes sin. And it controls people, and it destroys lives. Sin comes in like a flood. It's unexpected. You don't expect it to be what it is. You don't expect it to happen. Jesus in the book of Matthew chapter 24, he talked about the coming of the Son of Man, and he said, it's going to be like a flood in Noah's day. You see, they'd heard it. How many of you have heard the second coming of Jesus Christ? Have you heard about that? In Noah's day, they heard about a flood coming. But they said, oh, that's not going to happen for years yet. It's been 120 years now. You've been carrying on about a flood. You've been talking about a flood. Our children have heard that their whole life. I've heard that for more than 100 years. There's a flood coming. Surely that's not going to happen, not anytime soon. The Bible said they were eating and they were drinking. And they were married, and they were given in marriage, and it was like any other day when a raindrop fell. And another raindrop fell. And suddenly the heavens burst, and rain came down in torrents, And they were in water up to their ankles, and water up to their knees, and water up to their waist. And the waters began to carry them away. And suddenly they were swept off of their feet. And it was over the treetops and headed for the mountaintops. And people were crying out, "Stop the rain!" Noah said it was coming. And they said, "That'll never happen." The Bible said in the last days there'll come scoffers, mocking. Where is the sign of his coming? Since our fathers fell asleep, we've heard this over and over. It's not going to happen anytime soon. Yes, it is. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. It's going to happen, folks. Like a flood in Noah's time. Amen. They weren't expecting it. It came and swept them. Oh, sin comes in like a flood. You don't expect it. You don't expect it. It started out as something seemingly good. You thought it was going to be different. You know, there are relationships that start that way. Be careful, young folks, what you get involved in, who you get involved with. It can seem real innocent, and you can find your life a wreck. Your dreams dashed in a relationship that you're wondering, how in the world that I get here. Be careful. Sin comes in like a flood. It's unexpected. You don't think that it's going to happen the way that it does. Floods always fill the low places first. They always fill the low places first. Set your goals high. Set your aspiration high. Live on the high road. Always take the high road. Yes, it's more difficult. Yes, it's more strenuous. Yes, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you more. But floods always fill the low places first. Jesus gave us a parable in the book of Luke. In the 6th chapter, verse 48, he said that he that heareth my word is like a man that built his house, and he digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. He said, and he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. This is not only about foundations. Sand's a good foundation. There's nothing wrong with having a good sand foundation. That's a good foundation. What he's talking about in the land where he's speaking of, all of the sandy land is lowland, and the rocky land is highland. So his sin, don't live in the lowlands. Don't build your life where it's easy. Don't take the easy road, but build in the high country. Build on a solid foundation, something that's going to last when the rain comes, and it's not going to wash your house away. Sin comes in like a flood. And if you live low, you're going to be washed away. You've got to set your sights a little bit higher. Don't fall for the enemy's siren song when he comes and he tries to woo you away to things that he knows Amen. But you see, friend, if you'll set some high values in your life, set some high expectations. I've known people that said, well, you know what? If I don't get married, so what? Let me tell you something. It's a whole lot better to not be married than it is to be married to the wrong person. There's damage that you can't undo. There are things you can't take back. There are experiences you can never have again. There is innocence that can be lost. Be careful. Be careful. Be careful. I know what the world says. I know the world. I know what it says. But you listen to me. You set a higher standard. Amen. When you get ready to look for a mate, you look for the, you look in the high land. Don't you get down there in the low lands. The best place to find the mate's at an altar. Find somebody that has a prayer life. Find somebody that knows God. Find somebody that serves God. Find somebody that worships fervently. Find somebody that has some great personal convictions. Amen. Look for somebody that lives in the high land. Don't take the low road. Because the flood comes to the lowlands first. Floods soil and damage everything that they touch. There are some things when the flood is over that survived. They're intact. But they're soiled, and they're damaged, and they'll never be the same. Everything sin touches, it soils. It gets into the very fabric, to the core. Everything sin touches, it damages. I know, and we believe in repentance. And thank God for repentance. Repentance can renew us and restore us. But sin does some damage that can't be undone. I know that scars, nobody ever died of a scar. But nonetheless, the scar's there. And it'll never go away. It does something to the mind. It does something to the spirit. Amen. Sin does some damage that sometimes nothing can undo. Now, the blood of Jesus can cleanse you, but there are some things, there are some sins that can actually disqualify you from some things that God had originally planned for you. They can destroy your future. And you'll never be able to realize some of the things that God wanted for you. Sin is like a flood. It damages and soils everything that it touches. Once sin gets a hold of a person, they'll never be the same. You can't undo sin, no matter how much you want to. You can't take it away. You can't go back and undo it. I read something I thought was almost comical. Yesterday in the news, it talked about some atheists have got together and they are de-baptizing people. They do it with a hairdryer. Now, of course, they were de-baptizing people that had been sprinkled. If they're going to de-baptize one of us, it's going to take some work. They're going to have to run us through a car wash. Let's go in them big dryers. You're going to get de-baptized. How silly. Amen. First of all, if you don't believe in God, why worry about whether you've ever baptized or not? Why worry about trying to de-baptize somebody? At the basis, they know there's God. Amen. But there's some things you can't undo. You can't undo a baptism. You can't undo that. It's done. You can't undo a sin. It'll ever be with you. Yes, the blood can wash it out of your record, but it doesn't wash it out of your mind. Anybody know what I'm talking about here today? It don't wash it out of your mind. It doesn't wash it out of other people's mind. It doesn't wash it out of the devil's mind. The Bible calls him the accuser of the brethren. How many of us still deal with things because the devil drags stuff up from the past and tries to dump it on you right in the middle of a worship service? You get the feeling of the Holy Ghost and he'll drag something up and try to drag you down with it. Amen. Because you see, you can't undo that. You can't forget that. But I tell you what you can do. You can say, hey, that's under the blood. I've been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I repented and he forgave me. Amen. But sin soils and damages. Sin brings out the worst in everything. The flood, when it, if you ever see a flood come, and it's not only, you can see a flood and on the top it looks okay, but underneath you don't know what's under there. There's logs underneath there that'll knock you into eternity. There are serpents in that flood, and they're flailing about, angry because they don't understand what's going on, snapping and biting at everything in their path. There are animals under there and they're clawing and they're reaching out and they're doing everything they know instinctively to survive. The flood brings out the worst in everything. Sin brings out the worst in people. It doesn't bring the best out of you. I've seen sweet people become bitter, angry people because of sin. I've seen people that I knew them when they were young and before sin got a hold of them, and you see them a few years later and you hardly recognize them. They've changed so much. Their nature has changed. Sin changes. It brings out not the best, but the worst in an individual. Sin's like a flood. Floods always leave death and destruction and heartache behind. There's nothing like going back to finally being able to go back to your house, back to your property, back to your church after a flood has come and witness the devastation that was left by a flood. Everything has to be almost torn down if it's not already, and start all over. Because floods leave such devastation. But I'm telling you today, sin's like a flood. I know people that sin got a hold of, and they're a living shell. Everything inside's damaged. Their mind's damaged. Their spirit's damaged. Their heart's damaged. Their physical body has been ravaged. They're just a shell. Sin brings destruction, folks. Please don't forget that. It starts out as innocent as a raindrop. It ends up in devastation. Always. Always. Without exception. Sin comes in. Comes in slowly, innocently. It may be unexplainable. And the next thing you know, you're caught up in a torrent. But there's hope. I said there's some hope. I read it to you, didn't I? Jesus, or the scripture said, speaking of Jesus, this is a prophetic verse. It says, when sin or the enemy shall come in. like a flood. It says, the Lord, or the Spirit of the Lord, shall. That means He's going to do it. He's going to raise up a standard against it. A standard is a flag. Now, I don't know. There's just something about a flag. Now, I know that sometimes it just looks like just a flag. But I'm telling you, friend, when you're in a foreign place and everything around you is strange, and you look up and you see Old Glory waving, it'll do something to you. When you see the stars and the stripes waving on foreign soil, and you realize, if I ever get in trouble, if I can just get back to this place, everything's going to be all right. Amen. You understand? And there's people all around the world. They know where that embassy is. And they realize, if I can just get inside the walls where the standard is waving, I'll be okay. There are people there that will protect me. There are people there that will help me. You see, a standard, it identifies something. It sets apart. It speaks of an identity of a nation or a sovereign or an authority. Amen. I'm telling you today, there's nothing like the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And there's nothing like the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. When we call that name something, that's our standard. And when you speak that name, something happens. Amen. That name has stopped the mouths of lions. That name has stopped the sword in the hand of the warrior. That name has stopped the floods. Hallelujah. That name has stopped the enemy in his tracks on every occasion. Amen. There's something powerful about the name of Jesus. That is our identity, and that is our standard. Amen. Hallelujah. It represents something, folks. Amen. It means something. It means something. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you something here today. You may feel like you're in a flood, and you got carried away, and you're flailing all around trying to find something to stop the downward path. You're caught up in a whirlpool, as it were. It seems like you're being sucked to the very bottom, and you don't know how you're going to get out of that. You wish you hadn't got into it. You wish you'd never stepped into it, but you're there now, and you're wondering, how am I going to get out of this? There's only one way that you're ever going to get out. You're going to have to reach up your hand and your voice, and you're going to have to call on the name that's above every name, and you got to shout that name, Jesus! And when you call that name, you arrest the attention of heaven, and a strong hand will reach down, and suddenly when you're in a flood, you'll feel like you're standing on a rock, and He'll lift you up and give you a foundation that you can stand on, and a new life to start living all over again. Amen. He's the standard today. Let's stand together. Thank you for your time here. Amen. I'm telling you today, sin comes in like a flood, but the Lord will lift up a standard. But you got to be looking, folks. You got to be watching for it. Amen. There's nothing like it in the world. Amen. I've read about soldiers on a battlefield, and they're caught behind the enemy lines. And it looks like death is certain. There's no more hope for them. And all of a sudden, They hear a sound. Amen. A plane flies over. And they lift their eyes to identify. And they're painted on that airplane as the standard. And they know help's arrived. Hallelujah. Amen. Here comes an army, a regiment of soldiers, and they've got Old Glory waving. And they say, there it is, there's a standard. Amen. I was going down for the last time, but the standard. If I can just make my way to the standard, if I can just get back to the altar, if I can just get back to that name, if I can just get back to that old rugged cross, amen, I can make it. Amen. I'm offering somebody in this sanctuary some hope this morning. The standard's right here. Some of you see it clearly this morning. Some of you see it clearly this morning. Amen. You need to run to this standard. You need to wrap yourself up in it so closely that we can't tell where you stop when the standard begins. Come on now. Come on now. Don't flirt with the flood. It'll destroy you. It'll soil you. It'll damage you. It'll ruin you. It'll take everything that you've got. Don't flirt with the flood. It may look innocent as a raindrop, but you beware of sin, because sin is like a flood. Amen. Come on now. Let's come to the standard this morning. Let's come to the standard this morning. Let's get our hands on the standard again. Let's wrap ourselves in its warmth. There's cleansing here. There's restoration and strength here. There's forgiveness here. There's a new beginning here. There's a standard. It's waiting for you. It's waiting for you.
Lord, take me back to that home.
All right, come on, folks. Come on, folks. Let's gather around the front here this morning.
Take me back.
Let's march toward the standard here today. Let's embrace it.
There I'll make a new commitment and begin
a
fresh start.
Help me, Jesus.
Help me find
Help me, Jesus.
My direction.
I don't want to get
Place a burden in my heart. Oh, Lord, take me back to
today that somebody can stand here.
Lord, take
victim of the flood and tell you
to that old
it not only cost me, but it cost my family.
I'll make a new
it cost my children.
And
begin
a fresh start.
I wish I hadn't started.
Help me find my direction.
I wish I would have recognized it for what it was. It looked innocent as rain.
Oh, Lord, take
I found
me
myself
back
caught up in the flood.
To that old landmark. Lord, take
Jesus,
help
us to see sin for what
there I'll make a new
help us to look beyond the facade
and begin.
hands to put everything that's us.
Lord, take
help us
me
along
back
to flee
to that homeland.
Amen. There we'll find the army of Christ. There
Lord,
we'll find
take
a strong
me
war.
Back
the captain of our salvation. Never lost
mark.
A battle.
There I'll
never
make
lost
a new
a battle.
Commitment and begin a fresh start. Help me find my direction.
Amen.
Place a burden in my heart. Oh Lord, take me back to that old landmark. Take
my hope,
me back,
my peace, my
take
joy,
me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first received you. Take me back, dear Lord, where I first believed. Take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first received you. Take me back, dear Lord, where I first believed.
Oh,
take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first received you. Take me back, dear Lord, where I first believed. Take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first received you. Take me back, dear Lord, where I first believed. Take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first received you. Take me back, dear Lord, where I first believed. Take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first received you. Take me back, dear Lord, where I first believed. Take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first received you. Take me back, dear Lord, where I first believed.
Take me back, dear Lord,
where I first believed.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Those of you that can't remember the Cozy Kitchen, I'd like to stay for that. Member service tonight. 5:30 at prayer. 6 o'clock service begins. Amen. We'll see you then. God bless you.
Still I'll pray. to heaven I found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me set my faith on heaven's table land, a higher place that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand my faith on heaven's table land, a higher place that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher
name Jesus, the most